Good morning, Way Fellowship Church. It's good to see you. Today we are starting the book of Ephesians, so if you'll turn to the letter to the Ephesians, we'll get started. I have been excited to jump into this text. It's been a long time coming in preparation for it, and this particular book is rich with drippings of God's glory and majesty, the riches of His character and His nature being revealed to us so that we see Him and see all that He is and all that He does. But we're going to take it slow as we go through this. That's just kind of the leading that the Spirit has been giving me. I just don't feel like I need to cover 3 or 4 or 5, 6 verses at once when there's just so much to glean from these words. So today we're just looking at verse 1, actually half of verse 1, and next week the second half, and the week after that the second verse. So we're going to take it slow and see what the Lord does. But in it all, what I want to kind of throw out at the beginning is that I have a feeling that this is going to be difficult, this letter and our Sundays together in the future, that this is going to be difficult for us because we often bring with us a certain mentality to our Sunday morning gatherings, and that is, what can I get from church? And I'm warning you up front, the first 3 chapters of this book is not about us. It's about Him. And so as we gather as His people, it is my prayer that you guys are going to prepare your hearts to come every Sunday morning, not in an attitude to receive, how is this going to better my life, but in an attitude of actual worship, that we gather to worship the risen Lord and Savior. That's why we come together. Now that's kind of different from modern evangelicalism as a whole. So I'm encouraging you guys. I'm reading this book once a week. That's been my commitment. I encourage you to do the same with me, to make a commitment to read these 6 chapters every week and focus on Him and His majesty and His glory, and allow our knowledge of Him to transform us, not to come in here expecting a 3-point life tip sermon on how you can have a better life or a better marriage or a better this and that, okay? This is the focus of this book, God, and it is the focus of the entire Bible, God. It's His story, it's not ours, okay? So in that, I'm going to throw out the central truth for this morning pretty quickly. It is that we were created to glorify God. How? Through our worship, through our faith, and through our witness. This is our mission statement seen in this first part of verse 1. This is why we were created. We were created not for ourselves, but we were created for Him and His glory. And how do we best glorify the Lord? We glorify the Lord through our worship, which is loving the Lord. Through our faithing in Him, trusting, walking, stepping out in faith each and every moment. That is obedience. That is following. And through our witness, as we proclaim it with our lives and with our mouths, His great glory. This is why we were created, folks. We weren't created for ourselves. We weren't created to get a bigger home, a better career, to have this many kids, and that kid in this program, and that kid at this success level. All of that stuff can bring Him glory, but it's not why we were created. Think about it this way. We're all going to die, right? Right? And when we all pass, it's going to be over. Our career, our house, our retirement, our children. Hopefully they'll be up there with us, but all of that's going to pass. Why were we created? To praise and glorify Him. We're going to spend eternity on the other side of this life worshiping the Lord. That was why we were created. And so, in these 11 words, this is what I want to focus on. We were created to glorify God. Now, in verse 1, Paul. Who is Paul? An apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. In our beginning minutes together this morning, I want to focus on just that last word, God. He is the focus. This book that you're holding in your hands or holding in your smartphone, this book, the Bible, is about God. About His glory and the worship that is due His name. This is why we approach that text every time. God's glory and our worship of Him is the subject of all of these pages. It is His story of His glory being revealed to us, not our glory. Now, certainly, the Bible speaks of our sinfulness. It speaks of God's wrath that we deserve. It speaks of God's mercy in spite of our sinfulness. It speaks of His work of salvation brought about His death and resurrection. It speaks of our glorification through the empowerment of the Spirit. It speaks of us. But ultimately, it all points to the glory of God. The hero of this story is God, not us. Now, from cover to cover, the Bible is about God's glory and our call to worship. So, truth number one, God is glorious and God alone is worthy of all of our worship. This is truth number one. God alone is worthy of our worship because He is the glorious one. This truth about God set forth in the very first book of the Bible. This is seen in the first book of Genesis. What do we read over and over again? God created, and what did He say at the end? It is good. Why was it good? It was good for His glory. It was a testament to His glory. All of it created in 6 days. All of it created out of nothing. All of it created by a single word. And all of it created to glorify the Creator. And we have 5 days of this is good. But then we have the sixth day where God says, this is very good. The crowning achievement of God's creation, the crowning glory of God's creation is man. But man was created, listen carefully, not to glorify himself, right? Man was created to showcase God's infinite glory. That's why we were created. God didn't need man. He wasn't lonely. You know, He wasn't bored. God is totally self-sufficient, so why did He create man? He created man to glorify Him. Now, we live, however, you and I live in a very narcissistic society, don't we? As Americans, everything is about us. The new term is that we are the selfie generation, right? Facebook, Twitter, pictures of ourselves. I see all your pictures about yourselves there, Zach. We are the selfie, narcissistic, self-consumed generation. I made one this week. All right? But here's the sadness, all right? Here's the frustration. Here's the issue. We as this narcissistic society, even we as Christians who live and are influenced by this narcissistic society, bring those same prejudices, those same perspectives with us on every single Sunday morning. We walk through those doors wondering what we're going to get out of this service. Have you been there? I mean, before I was preaching in the pulpit, that was me. Walking out of the parking lot, well, you did a good job, but I don't know what I got from it. Well, this event, if you want to call it that, is not about us. It is about Him. His glory, His worship. We sang that song right before. Talking about, it's all about you. Imagine that, the word worship being all about the glory of God. So too many of us come to worship wondering what we're going to get out of it, but it's all about God's glory and the worship that is due His name, not ours. Church, as we approach God's Word, may we come expectant to see Him. Whether it's on Monday morning and we crack it open or turn it on and we pour into it, may we approach God's Word expectant to see Him. May we come on Sunday mornings expectant to see Him. Not a slick tune or a slick message or a friendly face. Those are all wonderful things. But may our greatest expectancy be that we come to see God and for Him to reveal Himself in all His majesty and glory. And that we would make the decision to do so, so that we would make the decision when we enter these doors to worship Him. The Bible is all about God. The revelation of God and all His glory. The Bible is about the recognition of God in all His glory. And the Bible is about the call of God for us to worship Him in all of His glory. That's why we have the good book. That's why Jesus came to save. Friends, we were created to worship. Make no distinction about this. We were wired, hardwired in creation to worship something. It's part of our very spiritual DNA. But the question for each of us is, will I worship the kingdom? I'm sorry, will I worship the king and choose to abide in his kingdom? Or will I prop myself up as king and try to build my own kingdom? We were made to worship, but we were made to worship God alone. Now everything got flipped upside down because two people chose to knock the king off of his pedestal and to sit upon the throne themselves. To throw away his kingdom for the building of their kingdom. So Adam and Eve, our great-great-grandparents, rebelled. And they rebelled against God. Listen to my words and think about what transpired in your mind's eye. Adam and Eve decided that they knew better. Adam and Eve decided that God's creation might have been good, but that He was not. They disobeyed the Creator and decided that they wanted their way. And the Bible refers to this as sin. It teaches that we're all infected by this thing called sin. Romans 3:23, right? For all have sinned and currently, right now, still fall short of the glory of God. Listen, you and I, we have this virus. All right, and we're all symptomatic for it. Johnny was sick this week. He had some weird virus. It's kind of going around. We're kind of scared that it's this really weird thing that's being reported, but his bones were all aching. He couldn't walk, and he was having trouble breathing. It's a virus, you know? Eventually went away. There's no way to treat it. Or does it go away? Does the cold ever really go away? Do viruses really go away? We're infected by this. Until we get to the other side of glory, we're going to have this constant battle within us to either give Him the glory or to rob Him of His glory and take it for ourselves. We're all guilty of rebelling against God. Truth number two, man is corrupted by sin and seeks to rob God of His glory. God is worthy of all glory, but we constantly war against the king and seek to rob him of his glory. Here's the problem. God created everything good, but sin changed everything. We still worship, but the object of our worship has shifted away from the Creator to creation. Sin has so corrupted us that we just plain out refuse to worship Him. Romans 1, 24 through 25, it says, therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This is our state. This is our battle. Will we worship Him or will we worship creation? Whether it's creation He created or whether it's creation we create. Instead of worshiping our Creator, we worship creation. Sin steers us away from the worship of God, church. That's its purpose. Sin steers us away from the worship of God to the worship of ourselves and our will. And when we refuse to worship God, we rob Him of the glory. Listen, we shine the spotlight on our lives instead of Him. And we do it every day. But God is the source of all glory. And it is God who deserves all glory. Psalm 46:10 says, be still. Be still and know that I'm God. Just shut your mouth. Turn off the music. Turn off the TV. Turn off the smartphone. Turn off the computer. Turn off your friends. And be still. And know that I am God. Because I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. This is why I created it, for this very purpose. And this is the theme that runs throughout the whole Bible, church. God's glory. And this is the theme that is highlighted in the first three chapters of Ephesians. This is what we're going to be dealing with. This is what anchors every single statement that Paul will make. God's glory. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, God, the eternal and everlasting God, self-sufficient in Himself from eternity to eternity, needing the aid of no one, living, dwelling in His own everlasting, absolute and eternal glory, is the great theme of this epistle. God is glory and worthy of all worship. Man seeks to rob God of His glory. And truth number three, God has revealed His glory to us in His redemption from our sin. In spite of our constant drive to rob God from His glory, God has revealed His glory to us through His redemption from our sin. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Shifting away from that word God now to the word Paul. Paul, like many of us, was a recipient of God's redemptive work. Those of us familiar with the Bible tend to rush past this portion of the verse real quickly. We see the name Paul and we just go. We don't give it a second thought. But be still and know that I am God. I want to sit on this. Paul, listen carefully. Image, Paul was the poster child for God's redemptive work. Who was he? Well, he wrote at least 13 books of the New Testament. Could have written Hebrews, we don't know. And much of our theology comes from those writings of Paul's. Who else was he? He was an apostle. It says right there, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. This word apostle simply means to be sent out. He was one who was sent out as a missionary to proclaim, to herald the gospel. Doing such, he was a missionary. He was a church planner. He planted several churches throughout his lifetime. But before all of this, before of all this activity in Paul's life, there was activity by the Holy Spirit. Before Paul, there was Saul, remember this? Or do we just read it and forget the story of God's redemptive work? Before Paul, there was Saul. And Saul was the persecutor of all those who followed Jesus. From the testimony of others, we read that Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked from him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem to be put to death. And from his own lips, he says, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently." And that's a real strong image in the Greek. Persecuted the church violently and tried to destroy it. This was Saul. But something happened to Saul. Saul became Paul. Like that. Something happened to this man that forever changed him. And that something was that Saul was confronted by God's glory. This is what the glory of God does. It changes people from the inside out, giving them a completely new name, a completely different identity, being a new creation. Saul was on mission to round up more Christians for the purpose of putting them to death. But halfway to his second destination, he was confronted by God's bright, majestic glory. Acts 9, 3 through 4, we read, "Now as Paul went on his way, Saul on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" In a moment, he was going his way. God got in front of him, stepped into his grill, shone his light upon him. "Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul was confronted by God's glory, and he was brought to his knees. He was blindsided by God's glory. The light of heaven itself shone upon him, and God spoke. And listen, Saul was listening. Saul was listening because, listen, he couldn't see. That's all he had was to listen. "Be still and know that I am God." Acts 9:5 continues, "And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.'" God's glory blinded Saul, and he was never the same. Saul was the equivalent of an Islamic jihadist. Die-hard, fundamental ideologue who had this belief system and was suddenly on the dime changed forevermore. He stopped killing and persecuting. He put his sword up. He opened the Bible. He was converted. He became a pastor. He changed his name as a symbol to forever do away with that old life. Paul was the poster child of the effect of God's glory on man. Now let me unpack it just a little bit more here about this. Saul was not only forever changed by God, but he was also appointed by God. He was appointed by God to be an apostle. God saved Paul, but listen, he also sent Paul. And as Paul went out into the world to share the gospel, God ended up receiving what? Even more glory. Do you get that? God was glorified in that instant of conversion, but then he sends Paul, and as Paul is faithfully obedient to the Lord's sending, the Lord ends up receiving more and more glory. God received glory in Paul's step of faith for salvation, and God received glory at every step of Paul's obedience to go and share the gospel. And listen, He would have that same glory. The Lord Jesus would have that same glory through each of our lives. God has sent us out, church, to showcase His glory to the world. It's not that He has just glorified us through salvation, but He wants to use us to bring glory to His name to all nations. How will the Lord Jesus be glorified to all nations? It will be because we decide to showcase His glory. This was the life-changing work God did in the life of Saul/Paul. And this is the same redemptive work that He wants to do in our lives. That He would do for those who are confronted by His glory. Salvation is just a moment away when sinful men and women are confronted by God's glory. Because when you see Him, kind of hard to deny who He is. It's kind of scary to say no to that and turn your back on it. Truth number four. Jesus Christ is the glory of God's redemptive work in the life of sinful man. It is God, but it is Jesus Christ, the Lord God, the invisible God who took upon Himself, made incarnate, manifesting Himself to the world. It says, a light from heaven shone around Paul. And church, the light from heaven, the light from heaven shone around him. And this light was none other than Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the resurrected Lord. John 1:9, Jesus saying, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Actually, that was John the apostle. But Jesus later, 8:12, again Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is God's glory made manifest in the Son. Paul was confronted by the glory of God and he was forever changed. God's glory softened the heart of a hardened man. God's glory twisted the neck of a hardened neck. 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. God and His glory saved Paul, one of the world's worst sinners. And if you and I can catch a glimpse of this same glory today, we can experience the same saving power. Amen. God's will is to be glorified, church. Man's default nature is to rob him of that glory and seek his own glory. But the Father sent the Son to save sinful man for His glory. And He did so through the person of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus' death and resurrection that showcases the Father's supreme glory. It is in Jesus that men and women are brought back out of darkness. It is in Jesus that men and women both are made whole. And this light, His glory, is what is used to save others. I'm transitioning here to point five, but God uses us. God sends us out to display that glory to the world. This is the will of God. Paul, an apostle by the will of God, for the purpose of manifesting His glory to the world. This is His will. This is God's will that we would be vessels of His glory. So truth number five, we are God's glory. We are God's glory through the redemptive work Jesus has brought about in our lives. Jesus is the glory, but we are the glory in what he has accomplished through the Son's work on the cross. Look, the same light that shined down on Paul is the same light that is supposed to bleed out from each of us. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, you are, what? The light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. We are his glory, and his glory should shine out from us to the nations. Last weekend on the men's retreat, we had our annual Saturday night men's confessional. We gathered around the fire, and there were just a bunch of weeping men acknowledging God's powerful redemptive work in their lives. And we were out there probably the longest we've ever been, and it probably took 2.5 hours or 3 hours, and we finally left the fire, and then we had to get back to our cabin through the darkness. And so as we were leaving, you know, there was a rocky incline, and I was one of the last ones to go with Thomas Linton and Tom Holland, our speaker, and it was dark. 5 feet away from that fire, it was dark. And there were lights in the distance, but there was no light there on the path. And I had my cool iPhone smartphone, and I flipped it open, and I pressed the light switch, and guess what? Light. And I shone that light. But that light wasn't just for me. It was for Thomas and Tom. And that was a light unto our path. Guys, Jesus is the light unto our path, praise God, but Jesus uses us as well to be a light to the paths for others. Amen? This isn't rocket science. We want to make evangelism and all this different stuff, but man, when you're focused on God's glory and that's it, he bleeds through you. He shines out. You don't have to worry about what to say, what to do. He's doing it. We are the light of the world. We are his glory to the world. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. God's glory radiates off of us when we are looking at his glory. We are like the mirror reflecting all of his glory. God has sent us to the nations to proclaim, to showcase his glory. Matthew 10:16, Jesus said, behold, I am sending you, Paul's not the only one, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. He spent 3 years making disciples, and there was a point where he released them and he said, go. Acts 1:8, the final release. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. This was why we were created, to glorify the Lord. And part of the way in which we glorify the Lord is sharing that glory with the nations. Our central truth this morning, church, we were created to glorify God through our worship, through our faith, and through our witness. This is why we were created. And listen, this is why we gather. We scatter, we gather, we scatter, and we gather to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. So the question for each of us, have I been confronted with the glory of God? Am I putting myself in a posture? Am I seeking the Lord daily to behold his glory? You know, are we in his word? Are we in prayer with him? Are we in fellowship with other believers? Are we here consistently and regularly, not to receive, but to give praise and worship and to give his glory to others as, as they're struggling? Have you been confronted with the glory of God? Jesus is God's glory. He is the risen Savior. He conquered death. He conquered our slavery. He conquered sin. To Him belongs all glory. May we be a church. May we be a people of God who at the forefront of each of our thoughts is this desire that He is lifted up and that the Father is glorified. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just praise You. Lord, we lift up Your name today. We desire that You would move within us so that we would become less and that You would become more. Lord, that You would open our eyes to see Your beauty, Your power, Your majesty, Your truth. And Lord, that we would submit ourselves to it. Lord, that You would put within us an increased desire to know You, to spend time with You, to be changed by You, to faith in You, because that's hard. Lord, we have an entire world who don't believe the things that You've called us to believe. So I pray for those today who are struggling with belief. Lord, I pray that You would shine down Your light upon us. Lord, that You would get in our grill, that You would hold our heads in both of Your hands and force us to stare into Your eyes. Lord, that we would worship You, that we would know that we were made to worship You. And I pray this all in the name of Jesus.